I'm Richard Sagel, Policy Manager here at CFG, and I'm kindly joined by Paul Wynyard at NCVO. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Great to be here. So, obviously, you played a fairly key role in the Independent Tax Commission, which NCVO set up. Mm-hmm. Do you perhaps want to briefly explain what that was and your role within that as well?
Yeah, sure. So, in 2017, NCVO set up the Charity Tax Commission, which, as you pointed out, was independent, to undertake a full review of charitable tax reliefs. There hadn't been a comprehensive look at reliefs for around 20 years. We were increasingly mindful that each government budget lacked a strategic approach to charity taxation. So obviously, as you know, tax reliefs for charities are worth around $4 billion a year, including business rates relief, gift aid, and VAT relief, and reliefs for individuals are around $1.5 billion a year. So the question the Commission sought to answer was, could the operation and administration of these reliefs be improved so that good causes would get more, but with minimal cost to the Exchequer? So the report sets out a suite of reforms that we believe that if implemented could significantly increase support for charities. My role was to act as secretary to the Commission. So this involved collecting and analysing feedback from charities and beyond on the changes that they wanted to see. I advised the commissioners on the pros and cons of potential reforms. I coordinated research for the commission. And of course, you know, I did things like writing the final report and overseeing stakeholder engagement.
Great. So I imagine that was quite a lot of work, all things considered. Just as a point of information, who's the chair of the commission and some of the commissioners that were on that as well?
So the chair of the commission was Sir Nicholas Montague. He was a former chair of the Inland Revenue, which was the former name, for those who don't know, of HMRC. Other commissioners included Dan Corry, who's chief exec of Newfoundland Capital, Sarah Atkinson, who's director of communications at the Charity Commission, Lynn Oates, who's charity taxation, professor of charity taxation at Exeter University. And we also had Pesh Framji, who works for Crow UK, who's sort of expert on various VAT, I think is our area of specialism.
Yeah, absolutely, and also worth mentioning that Pesh is also a special advisor to CFG as well. So many who are listening to this will be aware, yes, of Pesh, and I've seen him present many things as well. So it's great that there was that focus. There was also as part of it two other groups which helped advise the commission. I wouldn't suggest you go through all the members, but is it worth touching on what those were and how you gathered evidence for the commission as well?
Yeah, sure. So we were supported by two groups, as you point out. One was an advisory group, which was made up of finance and taxation experts. So that included people like the Institute for Fiscal Studies, Resolution Foundation, and those types of sort of organisations with an understanding and appreciation of tax in its broader sense. And we also had a reference group, which was more around charity stakeholders. So that was the chief execs of some sort of key infrastructure bodies, such as yourselves, our Charity Finance Group, our Charity Tax Group. We had Charity Ace Foundation on there, Institute of Fundraising, and a raft of other organisations that we felt sort of, you know, had a sort of key interest in the work and the findings of the commission.
So after the process, obviously, of engaging in research, doing a number of roundtables, speaking to these reference groups, etc., I'm sure you wrote a lot of, did a lot of work and wrote a lot as well. From the research as part of the commission, was there anything that most surprised you about the current distribution of charities' experience of gift aid?
Yeah, so as you sort of just touched upon there, we were given access to HMRC data on gift aid, which is quite hard to get hold of. And we were able to cross-match that with NCVO Almanac data on general charities. But because of HMRC data restrictions, the research lacked probably the detail we would have liked for proper analysis. But it did provide a useful snapshot of where gift aid is going in terms of size, type and location of charity. I suppose probably to me the most surprising finding was that gift aid is a more important source of income for smaller organisations when taken as a proportion of their overall income. So, for example, gift aid donations represent around 10% of the income of organisations with less than 500,000 income, opposed to 4% of the income of organisations with more than £1 million turnover. That was quite interesting, I thought. We also found that gift aid income was more important for organisations working with animals or the environment and religious groups, as measured by a proportion of their total income. However, I think it's probably important to consider that sectoral distribution of gift aid is that certain causes are more attractive to donors and are therefore more likely to attract gift aid. So, for example, animal welfare receives more donations from the public than substance misuse, which probably won't come as much of a surprise to many people.
Yeah.
I think it's also important to bear in mind that certain organisations, such as religious charities, are more effective at claiming gift aid because they have good structures and training in place and often have a well-informed donor group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one figure that's used fairly frequently from HMRC is around the amount that's unclaimed and the amount that's incorrectly claimed. So is that the 560 million figure? From looking at that yourself, do you think that was quite robust? Is there any updates that have occurred on that, or does that seem about right to you?
Yeah, that seems about right. I mean, I think that research was obviously carried out in a particular year. So how that figure has changed since that research, which I believe was in 2017, I think it was, Richard.
Quadrangle, wasn't it?
But I think it would be reasonable to assume that things haven't changed too much. I mean, it may have gone up slightly, it may have gone down slightly, but I think there hasn't really been, as far as I'm aware, any massive changes in the administration of gift aid at HMRC's end that would have changed that figure in any particular way. So,
CFG has launched Gift Aid Awareness Day, which probably won't have changed that figure, unfortunately, but we're hoping to do that in the near future. And we've got a suite of webinars and guides which should help smaller organisations to do that. I thought it was really interesting, actually, that under 500,000, it made a bigger portion of income, because that's almost paradoxical. I'd expect it to be amongst large organisations which are better at claiming. That's a really fascinating finding.
Yes, it is.
So in terms of, the report focused both on it separated into short-term recommendations and ones that were slightly longer term. So in terms of gift aid specifically, can you briefly talk through some of the kind of shorter-term reforms proposed in the report?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'd say probably the most significant gift aid recommendation made by the Commission was the proposal to redirect the value of higher rate and additional rate relief to charities on top of the basic rate relief that they already receive,
with an
opt-out clause from this if donors specifically requested it. So, I mean, the Commission recommends that this should be preceded by research to determine how best to overcome certain administrative issues, such as some donors not knowing their tax status until the end of the tax year, and the potential implications that a change like this could have on donor behaviour. So, the proposal on the face of it makes sense, and as I say, it does provide an opt-out mechanism if donors want to carry on claiming the higher and additional rates for themselves. But there are certain practical challenges and behavioural implications that would need to be explored before a reform of this magnitude was implemented, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And that was one of the recommendations which CFG, I think, was really positive for. I think a number of organisations have mentioned this before. It's great that the report included it. And I think it was really important, the opt-out that you've mentioned, to ensure that there is that choice. It's almost like nudge theory in a way, isn't it? To ensure that the default is opt-in and then you can choose to opt out if necessary.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I think, you know, on this particular reform, there's obviously, as you point out, quite a lot of interest from various sector bodies. And so NCBO will be working with our CFG and IOF over the coming months to sort of bring together a working group to look at some of these practical challenges and how and if they can be overcome, and then think about really how we can, you know, convince government to possibly make the reform before, once we know these implications are sort of become clearer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was one recommendation around a universal database on gifted as well. Do you want to briefly touch on what that recommends?
Yeah, so this is something that's been looked at before. So another recommendation from the Commission was for government to re-explore the creation of a universal gift aid declaration database, possibly with another name because it's not particularly user-friendly. So the idea would be that the database would allow donors to complete a single enduring universal declaration covering all their future gift to charities. And so charities could then access the database in order to see whether a donation has a gift aid declaration against it, possibly using a unique identifier like a donor's national insurance number or some sort of tax code or something like that. So the commission felt that not only would this potentially make life easy for charities, it would also help address HMRC's concerns about the tax gap and ineligible gift aid claims, which is obviously something, as you know, you highlighted, the research, 560 million that goes unclaimed each year. Part of that research also highlighted a significant sum that HMRC thinks is incorrectly claimed each year. So we feel that the implementation of a universal gift aid declaration database would have two purposes. It would make life easier for charities, but also it would help HMRC.
Yeah, I think those are really, really important things. And I know that in part of the conversations you mentioned around the working groups, there's some talk of linking up with tech providers as well and thinking about how that might be taken forward as well. So I think that's one of the exciting things about the report, is that it's not a kind of static document. There's next steps involved as well, which...
Yeah, exactly. And I think charity tax groups, Future of Gift Aid group, is going to be looking at the gift aid database in a bit more detail as part of its sort of wider work around the future of gift aid in the coming years.
Yeah, and we interviewed Richard Bray, who's the vice chair of that, and he did touch on some of the interesting proposals that are coming out. I'll just touch on one final recommendation in the report, a shorter term one, around the Gift Aid Small Donation Scheme.
Yes.
Which I think was the one that, you know, we've spoken quite a bit about with members about, and it's got a matching requirement, which is a bit of a, or at least considering looking at the matching requirement, if I recall. So do you want to touch on that recommendation and then we...
Yes, so the Commission, as you point out, sort of also made some recommendations around the Gift Aid Small Donation Scheme. And one of those was recommending that government explore removing the matching requirement where claims cannot be more than 10 times the gift aid claimed in the same tax year. The Commission also suggested increasing the amount that could be claimed each year from £2,000. Which is currently on about £8,000 worth of donations, to help encourage more organisations to engage with the scheme.
Yeah.
And they also thought allowing text donations for the Gift Aid Small Donation Scheme to reflect the increased use of smartphones and the growth of impulse donations too.
Yeah, no, and I think, and having attended a number of trainings around the Gift Aid Small Donation Scheme, it's slightly unusual in that it's not really Gift Aid, yet it's confusingly called the Gift Aid Small Donation Scheme. One of the reasons for it being set up was to encourage, a number of reasons, obviously, to make most smaller charities, but almost to set up, encourage people to use the gift aid, you know, use conventional gift aid, I suppose. But the matching requirement is a barrier to a lot of them using it from conversations. Then they're a little concerned that they're keeping within those same requirements as well. So I think we'd probably go a bit further and say to remove it, but I totally understand why the report suggests exploring it as a first step.
Yeah, I think as well as a lot of the recommendations of the Commission, the Commission was keen to sort of, you know, certainly come across to government that it was being reasonable, and we wanted to sort of, you know, try and meet halfway and recognising that some of these changes were going to be quite challenging, and so we wanted to sort of, you know, recognise that by possibly being as I say, reasonable with some of the recommendations.
No, and that's perfectly reasonable and definitely sensible on that. Once the report was received and the recommendations were read by the sector, how was it received, do you think?
I thought it was received really well, actually. We were sort of mindful, obviously, you know, when you do these things, you're never going to please everybody. And, you know, a lot of the recommendations, or a lot of the responses that we received to the Court of Evidence, that there were some sort of some calls for some forms which had a massive price tag, and which the Commission, as I pointed out, was trying to be sort of conscious of, you know, making recommendations with a massive price tag. And so we had to discard some of those. So, for example, you know, the issue of tackling the irrecoverable VAT, which is worth, you know, about $1.5 billion a year to the sector. But without any way of showing how this would be paid for, the Commission really wants to steer away from anything with a big price tag, without sort of showing to the Exchequer, you know, that it could be funded from another area of taxation, for example. The Commission was very conscious of submitting proposals to government that should sort of be taken seriously, and part of that was obviously, you know, avoiding massive price tags.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was about to say, it was almost unanimity in a lot of the recommendations, how positive it's been received, which is good to know. And as mentioned, I think it's an ongoing process, and you've already touched on some of the working groups that are being set up. Mm. Is it worth exploring that a little more, and how who's involved with those, and what the plan might be in the near future?
Yeah, so the proposal around redirecting higher additional rate gift aid to charities. So NCVR will be leading that, our working group, working alongside the likes of Charity Finance Group, Institute of Fundraising, and Charity AIDS Foundation, our charity tax group as well, thinking about, as I pointed out, you know, some of the practical challenges and the behavioural implications of a change like that.
Yeah.
The gift aid declaration database is going to be taken forward, I understand, by Charity Tax Group as part of their Future of Gift Aid Working Group. At the moment, I would say that they're probably the key ones that we've managed to sort of secure future work on. There will be some work, I believe, on a separate area, which was around removing VAT from wills, but it's obviously, you know, this, we're talking about gift aid here today, but that will be taken forward by the Institute of Fundraising and Remember a Charity, who have been doing a lot of work around legacy giving and how it can be increased through behavioural insights. But the work is still ongoing. You know, the report is still relatively fresh, and as a sector, we're still coming together and discussing potential ways forward for individual recommendations. But at the moment, I would say they're the key areas that we've made progress on in terms of next steps.
And if for whatever reason there was a budget in the near future, and even more likely at some point a general election, it may be worth, of course, contacting the different parties and seeing what their interest is, and including things like that as well.
Exactly, yeah. And obviously, you know, we work alongside each other on the charity sector budget group, so there'll be plenty of opportunities there to think about whether or not the group as a whole can push for a particular Charity Tax Commission recommendations.
Yeah, absolutely. Paul, it's been a pleasure to talk. So any final issues you want to touch on in relation to gift aid or the report?
No, I think we've covered everything. I could just quickly add that the Commission also recommends that HMRC should consult with charities and phone companies on the practicalities of text donations and gift aid declarations, with a view to providing guidance on the processes that need to be in place for a sufficient audit trail. So, yeah. You know, this is obviously a growing area of people giving in different ways, particularly through, you know, change in technology and smartphone usage. And so, you know, the Commission was obviously mindful about text donations and how gift aid could work with those is something that needs to be considered increasingly as we move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Because as mentioned, there needs to be a 6-year audit trail, and to do that with text is going to be pretty challenging, I imagine. So yeah, exactly. There's going to be some leeway there. So that makes
sense. It seems there's an opportunity there that we should sort of, you know, that needs to be grasped, obviously, because we could be missing out on some valuable gift aid.
Great, yeah. Paul Wignall, thanks very much.
Thank you, Richard. Cheers.
Cheers.